Welcome to Couch Sessions by YWAM Heidebeek. On this podcast, we sit down with YWAMers to have interesting and challenging conversations on their journey with Holy Spirit and how they live their day-to-day lives with God. So come, join us. This episode is hosted by Stephen Bruni.
Hello everyone, this is Stephen Bruni. You are listening to part two of a two-part recording with Keith Warrington. When I was recording with him, there was so much that we wanted to cover that we decided to turn into two episodes. The first one about YWAM Germany and Keith's journey in YWAM, and the second about the Kingdom of God. I hope you enjoy. So you've spoken a lot about the kingdom, but what is the kingdom? How does the kingdom look? It's easy to say, but what does it really mean?
Yeah, well, the kingdom is what it is. It's a government. Mm-hmm. A kingdom is a monarchy that rules over people. A human kingdom also rules over a piece of land, and that has its boundaries, but it rules over the people of the land. Well, the kingdom of God is the rule of God. He doesn't rule by a democracy. Mm. He rules as a king. Mm. He gives the laws and everything. Fortunately, he's not just a high king. He's a father. And then his rule is over people. He calls people under his rule. And when people will say yes and give their lives over under his rule, that he takes us by the Holy Spirit. He can do this because of the cross and the blood of Christ. Forgive our past. Give us a new birth. Set us up as his children. Then fill us with the Holy Spirit so we start operating. And so this kingdom spreads as individuals all over the world put themselves under this God. But not only individuals, families, whole towns can do this. And then they link to each other through the Holy Spirit. And then the local communities emerge, the body of Christ, the ecclesia of God. Mm-hmm. Local churches emerge, and they're communities of this kingdom. And where is this kingdom going? It's what I said. It's going through all parts of society, calling people under Jesus. And when they come under him, then teaching them how to do their work, how to do their family life, how to do everything under God and reform and heal family life, and not only family, but businesses, politics, hospitals, turn them around, and then partner internationally. I would love to see German mothers and fathers, German experienced people going to Africa and sitting with the elders in the tribes or in the villages or in the townships or in the big cities, sitting with these African leaders, honoring them, and then being available to put all their knowledge into the young generation of Africans, that the Africans learn to govern their own cities, govern their own thing, provide education, raise their own children, so that the Africans become kingdom people and not just go up to Libya, get in boats, and try to crash their way into Europe. It's a very short-sighted, it's tragic in one sense. Mm. I talk with Africans. We've got bunches of them in Berlin. So many of these, the tribe, the small villages, they put their money together, the families put their money together, give it to the young man in order to make the trip and get to Europe in the hope he'll establish himself, and then he'll get some money and he'll send the money back. That's such a sad, utilitarian, and also evil way, I believe. But if they could learn stewardship in their own town, justice, upbuilding, developing their own towns in a wonderful way that's their own, it would be a wonderful creative thing. And I love all the best people in Germany go down and help them. Not colonial, we know better, but servants. And we can help in certain ways. And what we've got, we'll give. At the same time, in Germany, we're calling for apostles and prophets and leaders from other countries to come in and help us. So I see the exchange of gifts and talents going in all directions. Yeah.
So how does kingdom look in day-to-day life? Let's say Bob is walking around the Netherlands in day-to-day life. How does he release the kingdom?
Our calling is a double calling. It's the creation calling, which is take responsibility and develop your part of the earth. Mm-hmm. That was given us right at the start. So I'm now under Jesus, and I take all my areas of responsibility over myself, my family, my workplace, my friends, my neighborhood, my sports clubs, my town. And the first thing I do is I say, okay, God, how do we do this? And I relearn life, and I bring answers of God. I bring creative contribution into life. This is not yet evangelism. It's not yet missionary. It's social responsibility or societal responsibility. Yeah. And then I teach them once you get the ideas right and the relationships right, then you can start operating supernaturally. You go before God, bring your workplace, for example, stand before God, pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. Work with the Holy Spirit, listen to him, and he will start moving in your workplace. He will fix problems. He'll deal with issues. He will give you answers. He might even convict you of stuff you've got to put right in the workplace. And we've collected stories all through, you know, we're pushing that in Germany. I've got two small booklets called Kingdom Stories of people in all walks of life seeing miracles in the workplace, not just solving difficult problems, but giving new vision. And then also technical things. One good friend got a printout of a 2 hours of a whole new generation of machine that he was supposed to build. And he's not an engineer, he's a businessman. But he then led his engineers to build this new machine that he got from the Holy Spirit. So, and there's also healing in the workplace and all of that. And so that's responsibility for my part of the earth, not missionary, not evangelism. Then you add to it, bring Jesus to all those people, to where I am. And that's evangelism.
Yeah.
It's healing. And so then you pray for their salvation. You get words from God. You speak into their lives. You love them. And you bring Jesus to these same people that you've been working with or playing with or living with. But I say approach it. If you're learning, approach it in that sequence. Bring yourself in and partner with God to see change and development. And when you've gained authority there, then make a list before God of all these colleagues and friends and start praying for their salvation. And see how the Holy Spirit opens at you and then bring to them salvation. At the same time, find yourself a spiritual home where you get good advice, you get good help doing all this stuff. You don't need to be a hero all by yourself. We all need the help of friends. We need the protection of spiritual leaders. So get yourself a spiritual community underneath it, a church base. But realize we have this double call. Develop your part of the world, the creation calling, and bring Jesus to others, the missionary calling. So you do that, and you do it with friends, and it's learning by doing.
I see for myself, if I think of this, I could make it very difficult for myself. But how it sounds like with you just saying it now, it's just hearing God and seeing what he tells you to do. There's no need to be so scared or having to make hundreds of plans or being to think always 30 steps ahead, but just listening to God and hearing what he says and doing it. And out of that, changing your area of society that you can affect.
There's one thing I would add to that. You've got to have a vision of the thing and a theology of the thing. I can't just listen to God and do. I have to kind of see the game plan. Mm-hmm. I can't insist on the game plan. You know, sometimes God puts us in areas and you just do what you hear. But And that's where I think we need apostolic leadership. What's my workplace, where my life structures? Mm-hmm. Let's look at these, how they fit, and what can they look like? And that's, so you get the game plan or you get a structure of the thing by apostolic leadership. And that depends, your theology. I've talked about a theology of the wholeness of life, right, in what I said with creation calling plus missionary calling. What I was taught when I was a new Christian was I have only the missionary calling. I had no place for a calling of God in all of life. Mm. Or if I did, it was so that you can evangelize there, which is wrong. We have a calling to create all of life, and then we bring Jesus in there to all the people. So you put evangelism in there. But we have a sort of a two-footed calling, not original. So you got to have, in my opinion, you got to have those things in place in your head. And that gives you orientation.
Mm.
And then you say, okay, God, my family. And then you can bring your place and yourself into your family, whatever your position. And then you can go before God and you can give thanks for your family. You can bless your family. You can say, God, come into our family. You can open it up. And then God will show you stuff. And then the workplace. The workplace is the best place for all of this because it's not quite so private and personal. And you can then say, okay, God, I'm holding my workplace before you. And I teach people systematically to begin by taking 15 minutes once a week, 15 minutes as a block that you stand before God and you bless your workplace and you pray the Lord's Prayer, the first three sentences, your name be glorified, your kingdom come into the workplace, you will be done as in heaven, so in the workplace. Mm. So then you're standing above it and you're calling God down into it and you bless it and you hold it. And 15 minutes is long enough to get into intercession without being too long for newcomers. Once you get, you learn intercession, then you'll spend a half an hour, you'll spend an hour, it's okay. But intercession, I had to learn intercession and requests are two different things. But intercession is you go in there, you hold that thing before God, you hold it and you develop it, you carry it. And I say, as I say, carry the issues of your business life and the issues right in front of you, carry them before God and see God intervene to change. And he'll actually give you things, he'll give you ideas, and you start to do it and you'll see miracles or you'll see answers to prayer. And then as you're gaining ground, then you can start praying for conversions and for salvations to come in. But that to me is operating with a systematic plan. But within the plan, of course, it's then it's intercession and then it's honoring the Spirit and listening to the Spirit, following the Spirit. So yes, it's pretty well that simple, but to me, I have to have a game plan for it. Otherwise, I can't orient myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I try and put that in my own words, it's like with a plan in mind, communicating with God to see how he wants that plan to be fulfilled.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's pretty simple. Then it's simple. If you love God and love the people and spend time before God, for God's sake, opening it up, and for the people's sake, opening it up. But you got to do the homework, which to me is the prayer. Mm-hmm. And then you go to work each day, and there you do your homework too. You do a good job at work, but you do it not to be a good Christian. You do it because you're put there to do the works of God.
Yeah.
You're a son of God or a daughter of God. And so you say, God, let's do this right. And so you work hard, but it's not to please the boss. It's not just, to get up the promotion ladder. It's to say, hey, I want to see something wonderful emerge where I'm working right now. And that's worship. It's love for God. It's love for people. It's respect for the company. It's respect for the people. So their motivation's to do it well, but it's not complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean you have to burn the midnight oil. You don't do a lot of extra work. You just enjoy the work you're doing. But, you know, of course, with discipline and with good time planning.
All right, Keith.
Okay.
Thank you so much for this. I really love what you say about the kingdom, how it's actually very simple when you look at it. I think I'm very easy to overcomplicate things.
Okay.
But when you speak about the kingdom, it's just very simple in that way of what you said at the end, in your job, loving people, loving God, and out of that, taking responsibility for what you're loving,
yeah,
for what you're doing. That out of that, when you're communicating with God and you're engaging with him, then you're able to release the kingdom.
Yeah.
Then it makes it all possible. Yeah.
The responsibility is not just taking responsibility because you love them. The responsibility is already given.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm in my family.
Mm-hmm.
Born into my family as a single. What am I going to do? Well, I've got a responsibility there, but before I get heavy, find my place and then enjoy it. And then, of course, then take my part and do it. I'm in a workplace that's defined to me, over me. Pick it up and then do it creatively.
So if we close this off, as I said to you when we started this interview, I have really a heart for young people. So how would you recommend for the younger generation to step into growing in the kingdom, learning what it is? Is there some steps other than the ones that you've already given, of course, because you've already succinctly drawn it out? But is there some specific recommendations you would give to the younger generation to say, how do you step into the kingdom in this space?
Yeah. It's not a very difficult thing. I would say, I'll give you two examples, David and Daniel. David, young shepherd boy, God saw his heart out there and said, that man is the future king. He also saw gifts. You know, if David were gifted to be a bookkeeper, it wouldn't have been very much good. So there were gifts built into the man, but God said it's because of the heart. It's the act. So I would say, and David was about 15 or something. So I'd say, just have an open heart to love God and be honest in life. And say, God, I must know you. Put your hand on me, please, and take me. Without being hard on yourself, without being religious, but just bring this heart attitude. God sees it and he loves it. In fact, it's 1 Chronicles 16:9, was it 2? The eyes of God are searching the earth, looking for somebody whose heart is undivided. And that doesn't mean you're fanatical. It just means you're honest. And when you do it wrong, you say, oh, sorry. And you say, God, I want to love you. And you live that way towards God and towards people. You're just straight, open, and honest. And when you're talking with your parents, you're talking with your friends, you just have fun, you do it all. But you're uncomplicated, open, and honest. And when you feel insecure, you tell somebody you trust. You feel insecure when you do something wrong. You admit it and fix it. If you're having problems, areas of sex or anything like that, you go to somebody you trust and say, help me, I got to get this right. You don't have to be a hero. You don't have to be super. You don't have to spend hours praying. You just have to live life with an honest heart towards God and say, God, I want to know your call on my life. I don't know where to go. I don't know what, should I go to Bible school? What should I do? DTS? And my answer is start right where you are. Do just what David did. Out with the sheep, had an honest heart. Daniel and his three friends found themselves in exile. They were young, they were teenagers. What'd they do? They said, we're going to do this under God. And they didn't do it by extra religious activities. They just said, we want to quit eating this meat that's coming from the king's table. We want to eat vegetables instead. And the overseer said, well, I don't know, it could cost me my head if you end up looking dismal. So Daniel said, test us for 10 days. That's just right. That's cool. So they did, and it worked, and they just moved on. And then they were supposed to learn the language and the literature of the Chaldeans, but they were doing it under God. And when the king inspected or examined everybody 4 years later, 3 years later, he found that these four were 10 times better than everybody else. So an anointing had come on them in their work. And their work was the language of the Chaldeans and a little bit of politics, I guess, and the literature of the Chaldeans. So the Holy Spirit interpreted to these four guys the literature of the Chaldeans, which means the Holy Spirit knew it, and he taught it to his sons. And he might not have agreed with all of it, but he knew it, he understood it, and he interpreted it. So probably he taught them also the parts to agree with and the parts not to. But anyway, they discerned the literature. They're on top of it. And if that's the case, then you can expect the Holy Spirit to anoint you. If you're in high school and you're learning all this stuff, you can say, okay, God, give me English, give me German, give me maths, give me science, give me geography, give me history. It's your world, anoint me. And if you're at university, the same thing applies. Whatever you're studying, say, okay, Holy Spirit, teach me. Teach me biology. Teach me international relationships. Teach me. So wherever you go, you can expect the Spirit's anointing. And then David was honoring his parents. So bring yourself into your family life. Honor your parents. Bring yourself in the right relationships, the right openness. If you disagree with your parents, duke it out. Have open talks. You don't have to be nice and obedient and everything, but you honor them and you give them a relationship with a son or a daughter, and not you're not out doing your own thing. Mm-hmm. And then your friends, and if you're going through puberty or you're into your teens and early, get your sex life organized, and that takes help. Getting what's the guidelines and our sexual fantasies and desires. Okay, ask for help. Just take each area, be very open and say, I want to get it right, without being religious, but being open, honest, and then get yourself baptized in the Spirit. Go to people you trust that they pray over you, that you get filled with the Spirit and get released into the supernatural, moving with God. Not everything is going to be easy, but it just means you start hearing His voice, getting impressions, getting visions, gifts of the Spirit. You get words for people. You pray for the sick. So you start moving where you are and all of that, and just follow. That's my, when I was searching and cruising around and not online, I had a supernatural encounter with a man in a restaurant. I was on a tour with a football team to Taupo in North Island, New Zealand. And we had a break in an hour. We walked downtown. I looked in the cafe window, and there was a man sitting in there I knew from Auckland, from my home church. So I said to the football guys, okay, I'm going in here, guys. Pick me up on the way back. So I went and sat with him, and I was 18, and this guy was mature, experienced man of 30. That seemed old in those days. And anyway, he said, Keith, I'm on a holiday here. I'm hunting deer in the forest here. But this morning in camp, I thought I had an appointment in town. I better come. So I'm sitting here, and I think you're my appointment guest. And I said, whoa. In those days, we didn't know the Holy Spirit. We didn't know it here from God. And then we talked, and he says, okay, Keith, God has seen you. You're up and down. You're trying too hard. You're making mistakes. But God has seen your heart, and He is willing to enlist you in His personal school to educate you, to raise you up into His future. And if you ask Him, He'll put you in His school. And I was back in the bus driving up over to Napier for a football game, sat in the back seat, and I said, oh God, put me in this school. And He did. From then on, things came online for me, and I learned formally what I've just said. I was sort of doing it intuitively, but I then got guidelines, and I went, and then God showed me which books to read. People started to give input into my life. I realized I was on a track, and God was raising me up. In those days, I still made a mistake of thinking certain things are spiritual and certain things are secular. I was studying mathematics. I thought, well, I got to get the exams through and it's okay, but it's just pragmatic maths. I'll be a school teacher. I thought, okay, I'm a school teacher. I'll teach them maths and sciences. But the main thing is I'll be in contact with the students. I think that's wrong thinking. Now I would say, okay, Holy Spirit, teach me maths. Mm-hmm. Make me good at it and not just good at passing exams. And then when I go to the school, I will teach them maths the best I know how. And I also have contact with them, of course. But I began to, but in those days, I thought sort of evangelism and meeting people is spiritual and the pragmatic stuff is sick. Mm. Now I see that under Jesus, in his kingdom, in his world, everything is spiritual.
All right. Thank you so much, Keith. It's been such a privilege to have you on. And we'll close it off here. So thanks, everybody, for listening.